All right, big smiles, everyone. We good? Yeah, I see smiles all around. Wherever you are right now and watching us around the world, we're so thankful that you are here as we start our brand new series called You Asked For It. So I say it every year because this is a series we do every year. We answer the most asked questions. So if we don't answer your question, continue to ask it because we may do it next year. But if you don't like the questions that are asked, remember, you ask for it. So we say that all the time whenever we do this every year. And what we do this, I love this series because it gives us kind of a temperature of where we are and kind of what we're walking through as a church, what we're walking through as a church family. And so I'm excited today to continue in this series as we kick it off, but continue doing it every year. And so you know kind of how we open the series all the time is I like to ask some questions, and then this one's going to be a little different, okay? I'm going to ask for participation from everyone after we answer this question. So the question I have for us as we go into You Ask For It today is, how many of us have ever misdiagnosed a problem or solution? How many of us have ever done that? Either or, I would say it's probably most of us. What I mean by that is when it comes to misdiagnosing a problem, we thought something was wrong when it wasn't wrong. That's me with cars, especially if I'm looking for a parking brake. If you know, you know. If you hung out with us on Thursdays, you'll know. I'll pop you hood latch in a heartbeat thinking that that is the parking brake. But I'm saying all the way through, if you know, you know, we think something's wrong when it's not. That's just sometimes we do that. But how many of us will think that we've got something solved and we have the wrong solution? The wrong solution. Many of us ever been there? We think that, oh my goodness, well, we have the right problem, but the wrong solution. So we've misdiagnosed something, and that's the lens that I want us to walk through as we start this series today. And we'll walk through the question we're going to answer here in just a minute as we do that. But here's where I'm asking you to go all the way through and say, hey, when you misdiagnose a problem or misdiagnose a solution, one thing we know is true is God is sovereign. Jesus is over this. No matter what season we're in right now, no matter what we're walking through, he is in control. And we can have hope in that, and we can trust that no matter what. And so today, here's where I need audience participation. Whether you're watching online right now or you're in the house, if you have the ability to stand, I'm going to ask everyone to stand just for a moment. Now, remove your neighbor's chair. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That could be absolutely, absolutely wrong if we did that all the way through. Here's the questions I have. So I want to answer this because this is huge as we answer this question today, is this. Okay, so if the answer to this question is yes, sit down. Does that make sense? If the answer is no, stay standing. Okay, so I've got some questions for us to answer as we take part in this today, and it's this. Number one. Before you were born, how many of you, if you chose your own birthday, sit down? You chose the day you were born. How many before you were born chose the day you were born? Everyone's standing, right? Okay, we got that. So before you were born, how many of us, I've got my chair too because I'm playing along. How many of us before you were born chose your parents? No one. Right? No one. Okay, so here we go. How many of us before we were born, if the answer is yes, sit down. If it's no, stay standing, chose where you were born? Home, hospital, bus, taxi cab, funny story, wherever, city, state, nation. How many of us chose where we were born before we were born? No one. Okay, here we go. Everyone's there. Okay, two more questions. Number one, of the two. How many of us today chose our gender before we were born? No one. Okay, last question. How many of us chose the pigment of our skin before we were born? Look around. No one. So here's the question I have for us today, because everyone's still standing in this house. The question I have for us today is, why do we hate each other and become divided for the things that we can't control all the way through? Why can't we see that we're all in this together? Because the things we can't control are the things Satan uses to try to divide us. And I'm telling you right now, if we will look around and see that we're all in this together, no matter what, and see that when we hate each other because of where we're born, because of a gender, because of the day we were born, because of our parents, because of the pigment of our skin, when we hate each other, we are spitting in the face of God and telling him that he is not sovereign, that his plan does not work, and that he doesn't have a purpose for us. Church, when we talk about this, we have to see we're in this together, because the one thing Satan will do is try to make us sit down in the wrong chair. And so what I want us to see today as we move forward and answer this question is it's time for us to stop fighting against each other for the things we couldn't control. So everyone, you're not going to have to stay in the whole service. You're free to take a seat, yes or no. We're going to come back to this chair in a minute, because today the reason I'm asking you these questions is the question we're going to be answering today. I'm going to move over to the side for just a moment. The question we're going to be answering today, before I tell you where to get in your Bible, is what should the church be doing about our country's current race situation? That was the most asked question. What should the church be doing about our country's current race situation? And so when it comes to that, right now we do stories, so we're going to hear some stories in November from everyone's faces here in our Vine Church family. But this was the most asked question, and so it's the one that we're answering first. And I want to tell you today, anytime we go to do something, it's always good to go to the words of Jesus, isn't it? So today, if you're hearing this and it frustrates you or you get upset, I'm going to tell you I'm going to the letters in red. And if you have an issue with the answer, let's talk to Jesus about it and walk through it together. Because the thing that I want you to know, no matter what, is the Christian life is marked with confession and repentance, but it's not walked living and walking around feeling sorry for yourself all the time. Satan will make you do that. The Christian life is marked with confession and repentance. So if there is something wrong, confess, repent, and let's walk through it. But if there's not, then stop walking around being sorry. Realize that we're all in this together. We're all made in the image of God. When I look back in Genesis 1, on the sixth day, God said, "Let us make man in our image, red, yellow, black, and white. We are precious in his sight." And so if we see that, then I believe we can answer this question quite well today. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in a couple different locations. I'm going to tell you two. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, but we're going to start in the Gospel of Luke with a familiar story if you grew up in church. Luke 10 is where we're going to start. Hey, maybe you don't have a Bible. We have them free for the asking here. Might be a little bit small print hanging here with me, so you might have to squint a little bit. Because of that, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful that our Vine production team will make sure the scripture is on the screen. Wherever you're watching, it'll be here or it'll be on the screen in the house. But also, each and every week, it is our privilege to partner with the Bible app, and you can follow along with us there, and I can show you how to do that right now. What you want to do is download the Bible app from your favorite store. Then you want to open it up. And once you open it up, you want to click the More tab. Once you click on the More tab, click on Events, make sure your location services are on. When you do that, you're going to see the title of today's message. You're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through. You're going to see a place for you to take notes, but also you're going to see a place where you can connect with us throughout the week if we can specifically pray for you or serve you in any way. So if you would like to get on the Bible app, go ahead and get that. If you would like to get there in your Bible, let's get to Luke 10, and we're just going to read the words of Jesus as we answer this question, as well as we're going to have it on the screen here. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to Luke 10. We're starting in verse 25 and going to verse 37. And it says this: "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up." Why did he stand up? To test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question, right? What must I do to inherit eternal life? "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." All right, let's go home. Y'all have a good day. Let's go ahead and get in line at Waze and get lunch, because it's there. But you see, like that man, like that expert in the law, we just can't help ourselves, can we? Because what does that expert in the law do? He wanted to justify himself. In other words, he wanted to bring himself glory. And so he stands and asks Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You see, so many times, isn't that what we do? Jesus gives us the answer. We pray, dear God, show me something. Dear God, just answer this prayer. And he answers it. And we say, well, hang on. Now, I know I only asked for 10 million, but like, come on, man, it's just one more zero, Lord. What's 100 million? Come on, you can do it, right? Like, we want to justify ourselves, bring ourselves glory, and continue on in the circle when Jesus just flat out tells us, hey, you want to know how to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you've got it down pat. You're ready to go. But then he stands up and he justifies himself and says, hey, who is my neighbor? Because you see, when he looked around, he didn't sit in the chair. He sat down in the chair because he said, hey, even though you couldn't control that before you were born, I don't consider you my neighbor if you're not born in my class. If you don't look like me, if you don't vote like me, if you don't talk like me, if you don't walk like me, then you're not my neighbor. And so Jesus being who Jesus is, if you don't know it, Jesus is awesome. Jesus comes back with truth. And in reply, Jesus said this. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, this is important. This is kind of like 85 or 26 here. This is a busy, busy place. But the thing is, at certain times of day, it can be dangerous. Like, you know, 85 in Atlanta can be pretty dangerous depending on where you're going because there's always an accident and it's always backed up, right? Like, there's always an issue on it. So Jerusalem to Jericho is a busy highway. It's a normal highway that most people would have taken. However, there were times that it was unsafe. And it says this about the man. Now, before we go on, what I love about Jesus, did he say anything about what the man looked like? Did he say anything about when he was born? Did he say anything about his parents? All we know is that it's a man. He spoke about his gender. That's it. Didn't say his nationality. Didn't say anything. He said a man down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, this is important. If you were to go back and read Leviticus, because I know that's our favorite book in the Bible to read here, as we've walked through it a couple of times ourselves, Levitical law says that a priest and a Levite could not touch the man who was beaten and robbed and left because it would have made him unclean. And if they went to a sacrifice unclean, then they would have made the nation of Israel unclean. So they said, hey, I'm going to be stuck in the law for a minute, and I'm going to stay on my side of the road and stay in my lane because, God forbid, I look to my neighbor. But Jesus goes on and says this. He says in verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, you have to understand, this expert in the law, he is fuming and seething right now. Because of all races, a Samaritan. Not a Samaritan. There's no way there's any good in Samaritan. Like, Jews and Samaritans were at odds with each other all the time. As a matter of fact, each one of them had a mountain they said that God was on. If you ever look, one says Mount Gerizim. That's what the Samaritans do. Mount Horeb, if you look at the Jewish times, if you look Mount Sinai, like, if you look at this time, they're at odds with each other about who Jesus is, and they're at odds with each other about the Messiah coming and how the Messiah should be worshipped. And so for Jesus to say this was so scandalous. That's why I love Jesus. Scandalous. I love it. And he says a Samaritan, as he traveled, came from where he was. When he saw him, he took pity on him, and look what he does. He went to him, bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put a man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now you see, the thing that's crazy right here that we can get stuck in is Jesus just re-answered the question a different way. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says it this way, Matthew 22, verse 35 to 40. If you want to go there and kind of flip left a little bit to the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be here for just a little bit as we answer this question. Verse 35 through 40 says this. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Same story, told a different way, with a parable in Luke, and Jesus answering the question the same way in both. So why is this important? Why does he say all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments? Because you see, the priest and the Levite, when it comes to everything, you see, the priest and the Levite, they were sitting in the chair of law and religion. They were living life like many of us do. We think that if we do good, God will bless us. Even if we're in Christ Jesus, we think we have to do good for God to bless us, don't we? But you see, it's not how this works, because Jesus is saying, hey, if you're stuck in law and religion, whenever your neighbor needs you, you're going to walk by because you're trying to justify yourself. You are so worried about the good work that you have to do to be blessed that you miss out on what God wants for you and walking with your neighbor through whatever they're walking through. You see, the priest and the Levite, when it came time to talking about when to sit down in the chair, they sat down when it was time of law and religion, and they said, I'll stand up to justify myself, but not for him. But you see, the Samaritan, when it came time, he sat in the chair of grace, so much so when he was sitting in the chair of grace on his own donkey, he decided, hey, I'm going to pull over to the side of the road. Think about this. Imagine going on 85 and being in the left lane, because you're probably going the slowest in the left lane, let's be real. But you're in the left lane, even though you're not supposed to be, and you cross all these lanes of traffic, you see someone's hurt. That's what this Samaritan does. He sees a man left naked for dead. He pulls over in his chair of grace. He puts the man in his own chair, and he goes and he takes care of him. Binds up his wounds, brings him to the inn, and says, hey, listen, I've bound up his wounds and I've spent the night with him, and I will pay for him to be here as long as he needs to be. Next time I come through, I'll make up any expense that he does, any expense that he needs. You see, for each and every one of us, when we answer what should the church be doing with our country's current race situation, my question is the church sitting in law and religion, or is the church sitting in grace? Because when I look to the red letters and I look to the words of Jesus, the answer for what the church should be doing is simply this. When we look at this, Jesus said it, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That simple, yet that hard. I want to tell you right now, so many times, the reason we struggle with this is, like the Levite and the priest, we think the gospel stops at salvation. We think the gospel stops the moment that we confess Jesus as Lord of our life and we surrender our life to him. But instead, I want you to know, through the Holy Spirit that we just talked about last week, the gospel continues to work in us all the way to eternity. And how does the gospel work in us? And how we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and how we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because I want to tell you, I'm not there yet. God is still working on me to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself. It is hard, because I want you to know, the reason that it's hard for us is our sinful nature. It's hard for us because you know what Jesus calls us to do? Deny ourselves daily. Why? Because we're all jacked up. We just stood up together and realized, listen, we're all in this together. And the thing that I want you to know is, when we realize we're all jacked up and I need Jesus just as much this breath as I did the last breath, as I need him the next breath, then all of a sudden it's easy for us to understand how to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, because we receive the love we never deserved. So when it comes to our country's race situation, my friend, as church, all we got to do is love God with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, for some of us, if you're struggling right now and saying, but what about this? But what about this? But what about this? Here's my answer to you. how we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves will manifest itself differently in all of us. All Jesus calls us to do is be faithful and obedient in it. If it means going to visit someone, we're going to see this. If it goes meaning walking with someone through a season they're in, regardless of their race, we should be doing that. If it comes to helping someone who's addicted, regardless of where they are, we should be doing that. That is our neighbor. If it helps the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the homeless, we should be doing that, because you know who our neighbor is really? All of us. We just stood up with our neighbors. And so when we hone it down, church, for us individually and for us collectively, that's how we have to live. And right now, I'm sure there could be some trolls that are frustrated because I'm not throwing out anything and I'm not putting out this. And I just want to be real with you. It's just like I said, how we love our neighbor as ourselves and how we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul will manifest itself differently inside of all of us. But collectively together, we'll walk unified. And if there's anything Satan wants us to do, it's to not walk unified. Because as we answered those questions at the beginning, the worst thing we can do to step into destruction is compare ourselves to each other. You see, the Pharisee, he was at the expert in the law. He had the right question, and he asked the right question to the problem: how do I get eternal life? His solution, he didn't accept the right solution that Jesus gave him. His solution was, yes, you're calling me to love God with all I am and love my neighbor as myself, but I'm better than them. And because of that, I'm religious and I operate in the law. So I understand you mean that for everyone else, Jesus. But for me, tell me who my neighbor is. We can't live that way, church. That is pride. 100% pride. And the issue is when we realize we're all jacked up, the issue is when we realize really all of us are in need of a Savior, we won't be stuck in pride. Will understand that none of us deserve the favor, love, grace, and mercy of Jesus. None of us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But yet so many times we think once we have it that we're better than anyone else. I'm telling you right now, I hear this a lot and it frustrates me, and I'll be real. And folks know that. Like, hey, are we in the end times? That's usually a question. We've answered that multiple times. We've been in the end times since Jesus ascended. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we are in the end times, he's not done with me. There's still so much work to do that he still wants me here. So if I get left behind and he's going to make me be a part of that and let me be a part of what's happening in Revelation, by golly, I'm going to do it with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself until he calls me home, because that's what he's called me to do. And church, that's what we have to do. Be faithful and obedient in that. But you see, when we decide to stay in religion, when we sit in that chair of religion like the Pharisee, we try to be the hero of our own story. You see, our love affair right now in our country is this dystopian thing, and that's okay. Hey, man, I like dystopian books. I like things like that. But why do we like those? Because there's always a superhero. There's always a hero. And the moment we realize that we aren't the hero of our story, and Jesus is, and he's our treasure, it won't be hard to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. The thing is, we got to realize that it takes time, this thing called sanctification, the Holy Spirit working in us. And so when I tell you that, I want you to know this: loving God with all we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves will take our entire time on this earth to work through. It will. Because if it didn't, Jesus would have already called us home. If the gospel stopped at salvation, the moment we were saved, he would call us to heaven. We wouldn't have any work to do here, but instead the gospel works through grace. We see that with the Samaritan in this story. So when it comes to what should the church be doing, love God with all we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. I want to tell you, I will probably fail at number two today if somebody stays at a red light and they work through the cycle and I have somewhere to be. I'm guilty, even though I got my Jesus sticker on the back. I'm just saying, God is still working on me, okay? Confession and repentance. God is still working on me. And if we're completely honest, he's working on each and every one of us too. And when we realize we're to end this together, We'll stop fighting each other, church. We'll stop fighting about what one church says about a politician and another church says about a politician, because quite frankly, who cares? Who cares? We get to be the light, the hope of the world to a dying world. We get to be the light penetrating the darkness, pushing it back. Jesus said that he will build his church through us. Did you notice? He didn't say Tyler will build his church. He didn't put insert your name to build his church. He said he will build his church. He will build his church. Me and you, we are the church. He will build me to love God with all that I am and love my neighbor as myself. And that's how the gates of hell will not prevail. Church, that's what we got to do. That simple, yet that hard. And so when I'm talking about this and I look at this and I look where are, I wonder sometimes if we're struggling about this, because I think in 2020, I'm here and I'm guilty of it. So I will tell you, sometimes we want Jesus to give us an explanation of what's going on, don't we? Well, Jesus, I'm faithful. I go to church all the time. I tithe, I serve, I do all this. Why can't you tell me why this is happening? But see, he don't owe us an explanation. He just calls us to be faithful and obedient to the end. That's it. He calls us to be faithful and obedient. Why are we mad at him because he hasn't given us an explanation? Why are we frustrated at him because he hasn't given us an explanation? Because I'm going to tell you, he puts up with a lot of junk for me. If you want to know the grace of God, man, I'm going to tell you, he's got grace. He has grace, because sometimes when he's praying to me, I'm like, I think sometimes he's like, I'm just going to make him skip a heartbeat for a second just to see what happens when he's praying to me. Sometimes when I pray, I'll be real with you. But I love that about our God. His grace allows me to do that. And he helps work through me. And he helps work out in me the things that are preventing me from being all that he's calling me to be. And so for us, I wonder if that's what we're stuck in. Will we just be faithful to the end? Jesus said all the law and the prophets were fulfilled in this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were walking around with hundreds of laws, working out of religion. But in grace, we have a relationship. This isn't new to us. This isn't something that's new. And so when Jesus said that, this wasn't new to the expert in the law. It wasn't anything new. But they weren't happy with the answer. Because you know what love requires? Work. Because love's a four-letter word, isn't it? But you see, we can make it so much more than that. Because when we have Christ in us, he is love. You see, that the reason I'm giving this to you right now, and I'm being quite honest with you, before we get to Matthew 25, you can turn a few pages there. As I was preparing for this and working for this, I feel like I'm just kind of having a conversation with you. It's a little bit different than you normally go. I know you're used to 3 points, same scripture. I get it. I know that's a little different, but when we're walking through a question like this, I want us to see that we're all in this together, and Jesus is working with us through this, and it'll manifest itself the way that he calls us to be faithful and obedient, and how we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Right now, where we are in our country, it's just like we stood up. I want to be real with you, and I'm just going to say it. Jesus didn't die just for Americans to be saved. He didn't just die for a certain race to be saved. He didn't die for a certain class to be saved. He died for all to be saved. And the thing that we try to do right now more than ever, I feel like in this season that we're in, is we try to Americanize Christ. And I want to tell you, Jesus, we Americanize him, or we try to make him fit our political agenda. The other thing I hear is Jesus was a socialist. I hate to tell you, he's not. He's a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is a king, and when he came to earth, he came with a declaration as the King of Kings. He didn't come for Republican democracy or Republican, a Democratic Republic or a democracy or socialism. He didn't come for that. He came to set us free from the bondage of slavery and sin. He came to set us free. And in the end, when we realize we serve a king, not anything else, then we can live out loving God and loving others with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Look at this. This is how you love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Does that not sound like the man laying on the side of the road, left naked, robbed, beaten, and dead? That's how we love our neighbor as ourselves, because the Samaritan did this. Look what Jesus says will happen. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The King, Jesus, will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You want to know how to love your neighbor as yourself? Give the homeless shelter. Give the naked clothing. Give the thirsty something to drink. Give those who are hungry something to eat. And those who are in prison, whether physical cells or in prisons of addiction, prisons of sin, visit them right where they are and love them through it. And I can tell you, in this church, as we do it, the hardest thing you will do is love them through it. Because the chair of religion will exclude and say, you're not as good as me. And because you're not as good as me, away with you. You're as good as dead anyway. But the chair of grace will say, I know that I'm sitting in this, but I would rather you sit in it instead of me. Can I get you something to drink? Can I get you something to eat? Hey, you look like you got some wounds there. Can I help you bind those up? Hey, you need somewhere to stay? I got somewhere you can stay. Let me get you somewhere you can stay. We love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of the humble. The kingdom of those who are in Christ sit in the chair of grace. You see, Jesus doesn't end the story there. He says this as it goes on in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, once again, not a political statement if you're just tuning in, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The kingdom of the proud, the priest and the Levite, stuck in law and religion, trying to glorify themselves, their whole life trying to save themselves with their own works, will pass by their neighbor and miss out serving Christ himself, the least of these. But the kingdom of the humble who sit in the chair of grace understand we've done nothing to deserve this. Nothing. We don't deserve any of this. But God, in his great mercy and love, allows us to be here for such a time as this. And so the thing that I'm really getting at for all of us all the way through is when we say we're the kingdom of the humble, we have to sit in the chair of grace. We have to. We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves. We've got to love God with all we are. And it's going to manifest itself the way the Holy Spirit calls us to. And we've got to be faithful and obedient to it. Because disobedience to God is sin. And I can't tell you what that step is. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't. I can tell you what he calls me to. And if you have an issue with it, just look at the words of Christ and ask him to show you. I promise you, he might have already shown you and said the answer to your question is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Stop trying to justify yourself by putting your own answer on it. Because the kingdom of the humble will always sit in the chair of grace. But the kingdom of the proud, stuck in law and religion, will spend their whole lives trying to save themselves. You see, here's the thing that really is the truth when it comes to salvation. You see, all of us are born into sin. We're all born into the kingdom of law and religion. You want to know why? Babies cry because the world centers around them. It is just what it is. We are born into that, and they're not ashamed. They are proud to cry. Bless their heart. They're also awesome when they laugh, too. You know, and you want to soothe them when they cry, but let's be real, because we have good parents here. But look, great example, we're all born into law and religion and the kingdom of the proud. And when we stay that way, what we will do is we will think that our death will pay for our sin, because the wages of sin is death. Death has to be paid. And the people stuck in the chair of law and religion and in the kingdom of the proud think that their death can save themselves. And they will spend their whole life trying to save themselves, that they'll miss out on their neighbor who was beaten, robbed, naked, lying on the side of the road, because they're just trying to save themselves. And in the end, they'll spend eternity in hell. But you see, the kingdom of the humble understand, none of my works could ever save me. My death could never save me. But I know that by God's grace, there was a death that has gone before me that does save me, and that is Christ Jesus. By receiving the free gift of salvation and humbling myself and realizing that I'm not the hero of my story, Christ Jesus is. And he is seated in the chair of grace, seated at the right hand of God. And we'll read here in a little bit after we sing a worship song in a moment, how being seated in the worship, seated in the right hand of God is only through Christ Jesus and his grace. What I'm getting at is when I humble myself and receive this free gift of salvation Christ died to give me, then man, I'm gonna be able to love God with all I am and love my neighbor like never before. Because that love will last for eternity. The love that I give that will only last this lifetime will go to the grave with me. And so, church, if we say that we are a part of the kingdom of the humble and we are the people on the right, the people who are righteous, that are in Christ Jesus, we've got to look to our neighbor and love them. Even that neighbor that gets on our nerves. You know, the 7 a.m. leaf blower. You know, don't lie, you know, it's all right. I mean, I'm up anyway, but I was just trying to pray to the Lord, but you know, even that neighbor. Because you know what? It took a Samaritan coming to save us. Because we are those that were left dead, naked, hopeless, and helpless on the side of the road. But Jesus came. He came. He put on skin. He put on sinful nature for us so that we didn't have to do it. Live the perfect life we couldn't live. Die the death we deserve on the cross. But loved us enough to not stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could be all that he created us to be. So as we get ready to sing this song for a moment, I just want to ask you, what chair are you sitting in? Because realistically, the only way that you can find that answer is at the cross. The only way to find that answer is at the cross. And as we talk about coming to the cross and we sing about coming to the cross here in a minute, maybe you've been saved and you've given your life to Jesus for 30 years, but you realize now more than ever that you thought the gospel stopped at salvation. But Jesus is showing you the gospel lives through how we love God and love others today. Ask him the next step he wants you to take in it. And hey, maybe you need somebody to pray with you. After the service is over, we would love to pray with you. Meet us in the garden. We would love to get information in your hands. We have people who would love to pray with you. But in this moment when you come to the cross, I just want you to ask Jesus, how am I loving you, Lord? How am I loving my neighbor? Because I'm telling you, when we go outside these doors, he's going to show us those who are left naked, beaten, and dead. The question is, will we cross the street to meet them where they're at, or will we go about doing what we think we need to do? So if you will, let's please stand, and we're going to worship and sing about coming to the cross. And in this moment, have a reflection in the presence of God and ask him what he would have you do.
To the cross. know you're hurting. This pain is real. So why don't you take a chance? What you got to lose is just all for you. Come to the cross and see what he's done. Come to the cross, lay it all down. Come to the cross and see Jesus. Your Savior's here and waiting, love in his heart. He's patiently waiting. Could this be your time? So why don't you take a chance? What you got to lose? This is all for you. Come to the cross. See what he's done. Come to the cross. Lay it all down. Come to the cross and see Jesus. Come to the cross and see what he's done. Come to the cross and lay it all down. Come to the cross and see Jesus.
So you see, the reason I said we sang this song and the reason I said ask Jesus what chair you sit in is, see, the kingdom of law and religion, the kingdom of the proud that live and sit in the chair of law and religion, can never have peace in their present. They're always searching. They're always looking for it. But you see, the only way to have peace in your present is to experience forgiveness from your past and hope for your future. And that can only come by the grace of God, by the grace of Christ Jesus, by faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And in order to receive that, you've got to humble yourself, and instead of sitting in your chair of law and religion, come to your knees at the foot of the cross, because the ground is level. And when you do, Christ will place you in the chair of grace, and you will have forgiveness from your past and hope for your future that would allow you to experience peace in your present no matter what is going on. Ephesians 2 verse 3 through 8 reminds us of this. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We were sitting in the chair of law and religion in the kingdom of the proud, is what this is saying. Verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, and look at this, seated us in the chair of grace with him, seated us in the kingdom of the humble with him. And he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The reason we do what we do every week, The reason that we are here is so that the world would stop sitting in the law and the chair of the kingdom of the proud and the chair of law and religion, and instead would step into the kingdom of the humble by receiving God's grace and sitting in the chair of grace. And so my question today is, which chair do you sit in? Which chair do you sit in? You see, by God's grace, we can't work our way to sit in this chair of grace. We have to humble ourselves and receive it through faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so my question is, have you ever done that? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're about to pray out loud as a family together for those who are coming to faith for the first time. And it's not the words of this prayer that will save you. It's the faith. It's the faith receiving the grace of God. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and you can say for the first time you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you and you're in the house, would you raise your hand? If you're looking online right now, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Would you click that? Hey, maybe you're listening throughout the week. Would you reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698? We would love to celebrate with you this decision, because I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to experience peace in your present, because for the first time, you are no longer chained in religion, but are set free by God's grace to step into the fullness of what he created you to be. And for the rest of us, as our heads are bowed, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to thank God for us being in this moment. And I'm going to pray for him to show us how to love him with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're going to go have an awesome week. So Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that you are growing your kingdom of grace. Those sitting in the chair of grace, the kingdom of the humble, you are growing that, Jesus, every day. And you are doing it through us and allowing us to be a part of it through how we live out loving you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So Jesus, today I pray wherever we are that we would realize we're in this together, that you made us for a moment such as this, that you made us to walk together in a unity as your church. You prayed for us to be that in John 17. So I pray, Jesus, that we would continue to walk in unity by loving you with all that we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So Jesus, today, I just pray that you would show us whatever step you're calling us to take in that. Hey, maybe it's just simply letting someone know that you love them today. Whatever that is, Jesus, I pray that we would be faithful and obedient to do it, and that we would continue to sit in your chair of grace in the kingdom of the humble. We love you, Jesus. We don't deserve to get to be here. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that we get to go to the cross. Thank you that we get to experience you and be who you created us to be. Be a light in the darkness. Be a hope to the hopeless. Be there and walk with each person in the season they're in. Walk with our neighbors, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, make sure you make plans to join us next week as Tracy Freeman is bringing the preach, and he's going to be answering, why does God allow sin? Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.